честно говоря, рукотворный результат.
That's Russian President Vladimir Putin today answering questions during his annual television call-in show. One questioner asked about the poor state of the roads in his city. One pothole after another, the caller complained. Putin responded by saying that a flaw in the law allows regional leaders to use money from the state's road fund for other purposes. And shortly, authorities in the city the caller called from also called to say the potholes would be fixed next month. Edward Lucas is senior editor at The Economist, also author of The New Cold War, Putin's Russia and the Threat to the West. And he joins us by Skype. And Edward, what do you make of Putin's performance today?
Well, I think it was quite mild by the standards of some of these. These are annual events, these so-called hotlines, which are a mixture of a studio audience and people phoning in. They are surprisingly free and easy by the rather controlled standards of Russian politics, and people put quite tough questions to Putin, and he gives some fairly straightforward answers.
I'm going to jump in there. We've spoken before, and you know, just remind us for Americans who may be surprised at that, who may have a view of Russia that you know may be outdated. Does anything happen to those Russians who call in and complain?
No, I think this is really a shop window for the way Putin likes to see his regime. He's the kind of good czar, and this is the opportunity for the people to bring their complaints directly to the top, and he shows a very impressive command of detail. And I'm not sure there's many Western leaders who would do three, four and a half hours on live television taking questions from all over the country, and he shows no sign of exhaustion, and he really seems in his element doing it. Certainly you don't get punished for complaining, or at least you don't get punished by Putin. I don't know what may happen down in the in the boonies.
Right.
But it's a kind of safety valve for a system that basically doesn't work. This puts the best sort of face on it, I think.
Well, and you were saying, though, that you thought that today, while, you know, he took questions from one Moscow woman who said, my groceries used to cost 5,000 rubles a week. Now the bill is 10,000. There were a million questions submitted to the president and the Kremlin, and somebody must have screened them, right?
Well, there is a bit of screening, but they want it to look authentic. So they don't just have the kind of softball questions. And it was an interesting mixture. There were a couple of quite personal ones. Are you going to marry again? Is your former wife, Ludmila, is she going to marry again? There was another one, do you swear? Which I'd be amazed if any Russian male didn't swear. But anyway, Putin answered that one quite deftly. There was
Wait. What did he say?
So what he said was, they said, Mr. Putin, do you ever swear? And we can't broadcast it if you do. And he said, there is such a sin in Russia, and I'm guilty of it, but mostly only at myself. That was his very final question in the whole thing. And I think that, you know, made him come across as a sort of, a kind of modest, witty and sincere and honest man, which is, I think, the impression he wants to give, although people who know Russian politics might think that was only a very small part of the real Putin.
Well, I want to get to that, but you did say that he was also asked whether his ex-wife had remarried. Now, this is a very personal question for him. Putin reportedly dating Rupert Murdoch's ex-wife, Wendy Deng, and Rupert Murdoch recently married Jerry Hall, who's Mick Jagger's ex. But then you have Putin's ex, Ludmila, whom he was asked about. So what a stew there. Tell us more about what did Putin say, if anything, about Wendy Deng and his ex-wife?
Nobody was brave enough to ask Mr. Putin whether he's actually dating Wendy Deng, the former wife of the tycoon Rupert Murdoch, that there was a, by Russian standards, reasonably blunt question about his ex-wife and what she's up to and what his plans are. And he said that Ludmila, who's the wife he divorced a few years back, and he are on good terms, better than when they were married. And I guess they still have parenting responsibilities because they've got their two daughters who are now in their 20s. And he said that he was very busy working and didn't have any plans to marry again. But it still gave a sort of human touch, but no one really gets into the I think the things that Russians gossip about are not the things that they're going to put to their leader in a live television.
Well, you started by saying that he was a little bit more subdued, I think it was, than you thought. So tell us more about that, your observation, and also what about the serious issues?
Well, he didn't come out with a real blast against the West. That was something that I'd been expecting. And in previous years, he said very tough things. And this year, he blamed Goldman Sachs for the Panama Papers leaks, which have, at least I think to neutralize, have been pretty embarrassing for the Russian authorities, showing this huge amount of money that flow out of Russia into offshore companies. And he just said the Süddeutsche Zeitung, which is the German paper which broke the story, is owned by a holding company, which is owned by Goldman Sachs. And that's actually not true, but, you know, facts are kind of secondary in this sort of thing. And he said that nothing had really been proved. So he sort of brushed that one away, which I think was, you know, par for the course. But he didn't say that he was going to toughen up relations to the West. He specifically said that Russia is not a besieged fortress, that Russia is not being encircled by its enemies. And that was quite unusual, because that's really been part of the whole sort of Kremlin narrative, the whole Kremlin account of how the world's going, is that there's been a lot of betrayal and threat from the West. And so we didn't have that. There was one quite amusing question where he was asked if both the Ukrainian president, Petro Poroshenko, and the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, were both drowning, which would you save? Now, these are both people he gets on extremely badly with, Ukraine because of the war and Turkey because of Syria. And he said, rather amusingly, well, if someone really wants to drown, you can't save them, can you?
Well, actually, we have a little of that sound. It was a 12-year-old girl who asked Putin this question. Here's a little bit. You can hear him laughing and saying, you know, I don't know what to say. But then what did he say?
Well, I think he said that if someone really wants to drown, then you can't save them, which was quite neatly putting the blame for both those countries' problems on the leaders and sort of downplaying the way in which they're in confrontation with Russia. So this was kind of more Uncle Putin than it was sort of tough schoolmaster Putin. He actually relaxes quite a lot in this, and he's playing the role that he thinks that Russians want him to play, and he does it quite naturally.
Yeah. What about Syria? Did anyone ask if Russia has really pulled back? Because we know there was this big announcement that Russia was going to stop the airstrikes that were largely targeting civilian opposition and as opposed to ISIS. But then we're reading that Russian airstrikes are backing up Assad's forces. So there are still airstrikes. Did anyone ask?
He was asked about Syria, and there is a bit of a difficulty in the Russian position, because on the one hand, they're saying mission accomplished, and on the other hand, they're saying we're doing great, and you can't quite have both of those, but he kind of kept both the balls in the air. And he said that what Russia's intervention had really done had been to allow the Syrian government to regain the initiative and do the things it needed to do. And I think that for most Russians, the Syrian adventure has been seen as quite a success. Of course, while the phone-in was going on, we had news of two Russian planes being shot down, though that's yet to be confirmed. And if that's true, it will underline to Russians that the job is not done, and Syria is still quite a serious entanglement for the Russians.
Well, and there were, you speak of planes, there was also this exercise where Russian jets buzzed an American warship. Did anyone ask him about that?
Not that I heard, and I've seen pretty much all of the 3 hours, 20 minutes. I think that was skipped over. And of course, from the Russian point of view, their planes are just doing what warplanes do, and they come up close to enemy warships and or adversary warships and take a good look. So the United States is very upset about this, but I think Russia tends to discount most of this criticism and says, you know, grow up, guys.
Well, one last question. Another caller asked why people should participate in elections if United Russia, Putin's party, will win anyway. Again, these seem remarkably brave questions.
Putin allows these questions about why am I not being paid? Why are the roads so bad? Why is this phone, this doesn't seem much of a democracy? And he gives pretty reasonable answers within the sort of Russian frame of reference. Yes, our roads are bad, officials are corrupt, I'll try and fix it. Yes, we've got economic difficulties, but it's getting better. Yes, we have, our political system's not perfect, but then look at America. Mm-hmm. And he immediately said, America, it's just a choice between the Bushes and the Clintons, and that's all you've got. So he sort of makes Russians feel, well, it may not be great, but, other countries had their problems too, and we should better stick with the guy we know who at least can give a 3 hour, 20 minute press conference without fluffing his lines, rather than going on to who knows what in future.
Edward Lucas, senior editor at The Economist. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you, Robin. It's always a pleasure to be on Here and Now.